This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Monday, the 30th of September, 2024. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. Study finds workers with STEM degrees are more likely to report higher salaries and lower unemployment rates. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, as an East and Gulf Coast port strike looms, trucking companies and freight rail operators are scrambling to move billions of dollars in trade before a potential midnight shutdown. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Joe Sweeterman, Professor of Public Services and Director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Professor, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon on the Noon Business Hour. What can you tell us about this potential strike and what it could mean for the Chicago area and the rest of the nation?
We hope the weekend would bring better news, but talks have broken off, and at midnight Eastern time, we'll have our first strike on the East Coast ports, it appears, and that's 36 ports. And that, you know, the timing is never good for these things, but it seems especially bad now with both, recovering from the difficult problems in the West Coast a couple of years ago, and of course the Christmas season coming. So there's going to likely be some pain here, and we think it's going to happen pretty quickly if the strike happens.
What are some of the sticking points here in the negotiations?
I think the biggest thing of all is not the pay increases, which are well above inflation, what the workers are asking, but a ban on using automation. And the technology is advancing really fast to unload these big cargo ships, which have containers that are very labor intensive to add and subtract from these gigantic ocean vessels. And I think the Maritime Alliance, which is doing negotiation, probably can swallow the wage increases, but when you tie their hands on automation, it just seems too much for them to give. So I think there's hopefully some sort of compromise where existing workers could be protected, but that technology still could be deployed.
You mentioned the timing here, not exactly ideal. Not that there really is an ideal time for a strike like this, but what could the effects be long term on the U.S. economy if this strike does go through?
Yeah, I think we've seen the last couple of years employers go to a much more low inventory model where they supply, resupply very quickly. There's so many variations of products on the shelves that they've developed supply chains that can restock really quick. And you throw something like this in, like we can't receive new inventory because the ports are closed. It's really going to require a rethinking of how they're going to perhaps limit their stocks, raise prices, ship from the West Coast instead of the East Coast, and there's a lot of moving parts there. They've been knowing this may be coming for a few weeks, so there's already been some Plan B efforts.
Professor, a lot of people probably listening or following this story along at home, and maybe it is selfish at the end of the day, but wondering, what is this going to mean for me next time I go to the grocery store, I go to the shopping mall? For the consumer, what could something like this mean?
Yeah, I think we saw during the pandemic just how when you have supply chain kinks, that people feel it, and there sometimes is some hoarding and so forth. I think the good news here is that we have such a dynamic retail sector that there's been planning for this for quite some time. Now, if the strike is only a couple weeks, I think the pain could be fairly minimal. But if this drags on a few months, we're likely to see some of those basic necessities running in short supply. I think we can stay optimistic here because the president does have the power to intervene if this thing would drag out.
Very important stuff that we will be following, and really insightful stuff. So thanks so much. That's Joe Sweeterman, Professor of Public Services and Director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Coming up, the college majors that are most likely to pay off.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Each year, millions of students enter college, many declaring their majors with a clear career vision. However, Many others remain undecided. Let's discuss the value of various degrees now with Alex Gailey, analyst at Bankrate. Alex, thank you for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. It's a complex issue to think about at a young age as well. What are some of the most important factors to consider when you're choosing that college major, whether that be salary potential, personal interest, or even job security down the road?
Well, thank you for having me here today. Getting a four-year degree, it's a significant investment. College costs are high, and choosing a major is tricky, especially when you're 18 years old and you have to make a big decision like that. So it is important to strike a balance between your interests, your strengths, or your competitive advantages, as well as earnings potential and job opportunities. Being proactive is really key here to entering and succeeding in a field that you choose. But again, you want to try to balance all these things out. You don't want to go into a field just because it pays really well if you have really no interest in it, or if it's not a subject that you're really good at.
So when we're talking about kind of return on investment in terms of majors, where do you go for ones that maybe can prove to be the best when it comes to return on investment?
Well, when it comes to salary and job security, STEM majors are the majors that are more likely to lead to that. We actually did a ranking of 152 majors based on median salaries, unemployment rates, and the percent of workers that went on to get an advanced degree. And we found that STEM majors dominated the top 15 in our ranking. To zoom in a little further, engineering majors actually claimed 8 of the top 10 spots on our ranking. And these are majors that have salaries of at least $90,000 per year, and they have pretty low unemployment rates, lower than, let's say 2.5%, which is pretty good. But generally, these are workers who are more likely to report higher salaries, lower unemployment rates. On the flip side of that, when we were looking at this ranking, the arts and humanities were considered the least valuable majors in terms of kind of the returns you get. So median salary, they have higher unemployment rates, and sometimes have a high percentage of workers who do have to get an advanced degree to secure a job.
Yeah, we talked earlier about kind of the, all the factors of whether that's salary, something you're interested in, whether it's something that's sustainable moving forward. And it is a tough decision at a young age. A lot of students or, prospective college students right now maybe are not really sure. What's kind of the advice from the financial side of teens who really don't know which field they want to head into?
Well, cost of college is a huge part of the equation, and so you have to think about where you want to attend college and how much that's ultimately going to cost you. There are tons of options out there from, very high-cost private institutions to more affordable public institutions. There's community college. So in addition to trying to take advantage of scholarships and grants and trying to bring those costs down, you have to think about how much you're paying for that degree. And then once you understand the cost, that's when you have to make that decision. And really, I think using the process of elimination is an effective way to figure out what you want to major in. So if you're struggling, maybe rule out what you don't want to major in first. And that can maybe help narrow down your decision. And then just doing as much research as possible early on and getting connected with academic advisors, with faculty member, going through the course catalogs and really understanding what it is that you enjoy doing and that you are naturally good at that can ultimately also meet the other requirements you may have, such as getting a job and having a well-paying salary.
Really helpful stuff for those who are maybe not sure what they want to do. Thanks so much. That's Alex Gailey, analyst with Bankrate. Up next, a major rock reunion tour heading to Chicago.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Let's talk English rock band Oasis announcing a worldwide reunion tour, and the stops do include here in Chicago. It's a highly anticipated concert, and we welcome in Andy Chanley, our afternoon host at Sister Station 93XRT. Andy, thanks for coming down and joining us here on the Noon Business Hour.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So this is big news. It's all over social media. For those who maybe aren't familiar with the band or maybe have heard, there was some infighting between members. How big of an announcement is this and the fact that they're coming to Chicago?
Some infighting among band members may be the understatement of, of the century, Andy. This band, they've been basically feuding for 30 years. I mean, as a matter of fact, yesterday in 1994, they were in Los Angeles at the Whiskey A Go Go, and that was the first public fight when Liam threw a tambourine at Noel, and he walks away from the band for a couple years. They fought it out. They soldiered along for 15 years, but in 2009, finally. They called it quits because Noel just couldn't take it anymore from his brother. And there's been a constant back and forth. One of the more entertaining back and forth exchanges, because it's very public. It's on social media. For example, Liam called his brother Noel a potato. And Noel called Liam, quote, a man with a fork in a world of soup. They've been going back and forth like this. But finally, they never did say never. As a matter of fact, Noel once said, one should never say never. Should one look a bit of an idiot somewhere down the road when you're waving a check for $250,000 in the Sun tabloid? So here we go. It's happening. They're doing only a few, as you said, dates. Toronto, Rogers Stadium, August 24th of next year. Chicago, Soldier Field, August 28th. New Jersey, MetLife Stadium. And then Los Angeles at the Rose Bowl. And then a show in Mexico City. So those are the only ones announced, and if you want to see them, that makes this Soldier Field a regional show. I was just telling you, I have friends in Nashville and other places that are going to be coming here to Chicago in August of next year so that they can see their Britpop heroes one more time.
And so I would assume it's a silly question, but this is going to be a hot ticket. I know tickets are on sale Friday. I know there's also been some issues with music fans and Ticketmaster, but I assume this is not exactly going to be an easy ticket to get. And if you want one, you're probably going to have to spend some big bucks.
Oh, yeah. No, I fully expect this to sell out. And of course, yeah, it's a hot ticket. 93XRT is, of course, going to have some tickets to give away for this because we want to be able to make at least a few people happy. But, this isn't something I would leave to chance necessarily.
And we are crossing our fingers that the tour starts, everybody gets along. Right. And they do take the field at Soldier Field next August. That's the hope.
It's a valid point. What does past behavior say about present and future behavior?
Sure.
But again, I think, a quarter of $1 billion, whatever the amount is, the payday, whatever the size of the Brinks truck that's backing up to the dock, I think that, that buys a lot of mouthwash for distaste of things that someone else might say. Look at Black Crowes. Chris and Rich Robinson, they have had their differences, but you see, they've been able to hold it together and mounted one of the more popular tours this year. Eagles said it would be, quote unquote, hell would freeze over before they got back together. And that, of course, was the name of the tour in the early 90s that they mounted. And they're still together, the living members of Eagles, playing the shows constantly. So, I think never say never is the phrase that pays.
All right, we'll see how well brothers can get along with a whole lot of money on the line. Really, really great stuff. Thanks so much. That's Andy Chanley, afternoon host at our sister station, 93XRT. Still ahead, Ford looking to put a jolt in EV sales by offering a free home charging station.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. President Biden updates the situation in hurricane-ravaged areas across the U.S. Southeast.
This is Rachel Pearson. An argument over music ends in a passenger attacking his rideshare driver.
Ford is offering buyers of its electric vehicles a free home charging station. And it is Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of investment suggestions from a money pro. On the markets at this hour, the Dow is down 144 points, NASDAQ dropping 22, S&P 500 is down 6 points. AccuWeather says partly sunny skies today, warm and humid, high near 80, low 70s at the lake. Right now, partly sunny and 75 degrees at 12:31. Well, the extent of damage from Hurricane Helene being described by some local leaders in the U.S. Southeast as apocalyptic. Now the federal government is updating the situation and offering assistance.
President Biden says 600 people remain unaccounted for after Hurricane Helene swept over the Southeast, leaving a trail of devastation and destruction.
Federal search and rescue teams have been working side by side with state and local officials and partners in very treacherous conditions to find those who are missing.
The death toll has has risen over 100 in six states. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
A Woodstock man accused of attacking his rideshare driver because of a disagreement over music.
It was a bizarre incident that was all caught on dash cam video. An Uber driver picked up Jose Ortiz Perez and two of his friends on August 17th to bring them from the W Hotel to Tao, Chicago. During the ride, Cook County prosecutors say the 30-year-old asked the driver to switch up the music. But when they couldn't find something he liked, he started punching and kicking the driver. CWB Chicago reports the car pulled over and Ortiz Perez allegedly stole the rideshare driver's car after getting into another fight. Ortiz Perez is now charged with felony vehicular hijacking. Rachel Pearson, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Verizon is experiencing widespread outages, including here in Chicago. Joining us now with a quick update is Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. Jerry, thanks for being with us. What do we know at this point, and what are we hearing in terms of a solution?
So we know it started somewhere around 7 o'clock this morning and has grown quickly. To the point from 20,000 outages to over 100,000 people without service since that time. As far as what's causing it or any type of ETA for a resolution, they're giving nothing. We have no idea.
All right, we will be following the story. Jerry, thank you so much. That again is Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. While the Noon Business Hour rolls on, markets lower. And joining us now in the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade. J.J., thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour today. Stocks wrapping up a banner month and a quarter. I know they are a little lower at this point today. What is your takeaway as we wrap up September and head into October here?
Been a tremendous quarter, up 5% on the S&P 500. And so we do look like we might limp along into the close today as we've kind of gone back and forth between that unchanged line. With some news to deal with, China, in the meantime, had their best day since 2008. As you know, you reported last week in terms of all the stimulus that they're doing has really started to take shape. I think we've seen a lot of the chip stocks today, the NVIDIAs of the world, et cetera, having a little bit of concern on that. You know, that stock's off 1% today. But I think the bigger story to take away for the quarter, Andy, was the fact that you have a stock like NVIDIA that, you know, we talk about a lot, been such a leader, but it really hasn't done much this quarter. It's kind of stayed in a pretty tight range. But what's happened on a real positive note is the rest of the stocks outside the Magnificent Seven are really what's contributed to this fantastic quarter. And so I think that that's what we have to watch into the end of the year is, do we continue to see all the support coming from different areas of the market? We have earnings starting next week, at the end of next week, and we'll get a good tell on that. Or as we head to the end of the quarter, the people say, you know what, I know what my tax rate is, et cetera. Do I just take some profits, sell off, and go forward from there?
JJ, a lot of eyes on Wall Street ahead of Friday's government jobs report. What are you expecting and what should we expect come Friday?
Well, I think that, you know, given the fact that we just had that 50 basis point cut, as long as the number comes in somewhere reasonable around expectations, I wouldn't actually expect the market to go crazy. What I'm personally looking for is, where are the jobs being created? You really want to see jobs that are being created that I will qualify as careers rather than just jobs. That is, are we seeing manufacturing jobs? Always important. Transportation jobs. Those are two areas, and healthcare, three areas where I really want to see jobs being created overall. And again, you know, you and I both probably waited a table or whatever it may be, worked behind a bar at some point in our career. But when you're first starting out, those aren't longer-term jobs for most people. So when you start to see a lot of our jobs being created in the entertainment or hospitality-type industry as compared to those other areas, that makes me a little bit nervous.
Well, diners are very lucky. I'm no longer waiting tables. That was a brief part of the...
drinks, more importantly.
There you go. Correct. JJ, we're also getting really close to the presidential election. Curious your thoughts on how that could impact markets and your advice for investors as that kind of inches closer here.
Well, you know, I would expect volatility to increase as we head into it. You know, I think the presidential election, of course, is always important because the leader of any organization, and in this case, it's a pretty darn big one, is always an important person. I think what you want to watch out for, though, is what happens in Congress. A split House, House Senate, tends to actually be better for markets. One party, one way or the other, is the thing that, quite honestly, the markets struggle with a lot more, because there tends to be more of an agenda, whereas if they're split, it slows down some of the legislation, which in many cases for the market is a better thing because it does make people think twice and really have to present those cases.
A lot to keep an eye on as the month and the year comes to an end. Thanks so much. That is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade. Up next, a top car maker looking to power up its EV sales with a charger incentive.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Ford is set to offer new electric vehicle buyers a free charging unit and installation, an industry first, to help boost EV sales. It's also looking to allay consumer concerns about charging convenience. We now welcome in John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv. John, thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour. We mentioned this is an industry first. Your takeaway of this offer from Ford and if it could, in reality, kind of help spur EV business?
Well, it could, Andy, because, you know, one of the biggest problems or the biggest, concerns that people have about buying an electric car is, where am I going to charge it? Well, you know, if you can charge it home, that makes it a whole lot more convenient. You can save a lot of money that way, too, compared to getting gasoline. And so Ford's offering a free charger and, better still, free installation. So that can be worth anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. And I think it will help sell more EVs. You know, not a ton right now, but it will definitely help.
John, from your perspective, why exactly has consumer demand not really been there to the point where Ford is needing an incentive like this to try to spur up interest? In your opinion, why has the interest maybe not been there?
Well, look, the interest is there. EVs are selling. Sales continue to grow. In fact, it's the fastest growing segment in the American car market right now. But having said that, the automakers thought it was going to be far higher than this, and they overinvested. And so they've got to try to move the metal to help pay off for this investment that they've made in EVs. And one of the ways to try to get people to buy more of them is to give them free chargers, Andy.
You mentioned, you know, the convenience of having that charger, obviously the installation. Then you mentioned the kind of the price tag that a deal like this has. Could this be the start? Could other, you know, automakers see this and maybe adopt similar ideas to try to drum up support? Where do you kind of see this going now?
Well, maybe. I mean, look, this is a marketing move. You know, most public utilities will pay for your charger. They'll give you a $500 stipend to put a charger at your house. And you can get a good charger for about $500. Moreover, as part of the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act that poured all this money into EV subsidies and the like, you can, if I got this right, you can charge up to like $1,000 and get a $1,000 rebate for installing it. So most of this free stuff was already there. Ford's just making it very convenient and, you know, really marketing the fact that you can get a free charger if you buy one of their EVs before the end of the year.
And John, you mentioned, you know, there is popularity, maybe not quite up to analyst expectations, but for those who are maybe, you know, on the fence for whatever reason about making the switch from gas to electric, what else could it take to kind of sway those drivers?
I think it's just going to take time. You know, we're going to sell over 1.2 million EVs in the U.S. this year. You know, it was 1.1 million last year. So there's a lot of people buying them. It's just going to take time to where enough people see a lot of other people driving EVs, where they finally start to see public charging stations all over the place. That'll give them the confidence to at least check it out. Doesn't mean that they're going to buy, but I think we're going to continue to see EV sales going up. It's just not going up as fast as the auto industry had hoped.
Absolutely. Really fascinating stuff. Thanks so much. That is John McElroy, Automotive.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday, and helping us with a couple of ideas today is Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital. Matt, thank you so much for being with us here on the New Business Hour today. Couple stocks for the investors. Let's start with your first pick to kick off the week here.
Hi, Andy. How you doing? First pick is Citigroup, which is a large bank. I'm sure investors have noticed, of course, the major banking sectors, J.P. Morgan, doing so well. Warren Buffett selling some of his, trimming his stake in Bank of America. And Citigroup, which is a major bank, major international operations, a money center, deals a lot with corporations and their treasury markets globally, has kind of been under the radar, a little bit left behind. A little backstory is Citigroup has never regained its all-time highs as the other major banks have, and the outcome of the financial crisis, and they're in the midst of a turnaround, which leaves it relatively undervalued, in our opinion, with about the best valuation in the banking sector, with the PE of about just 8 and trading less than book value, about 60% of book value, when most major banks trade at about book value. So we don't know how quickly any kind of turnaround or business reorganization and improved momentum is going to take. However, you know, when it's sort of hard to buy stocks at all-time highs, these are some of the ones and ideas that you can be looking at, sort of like a deep value long-term play here.
All right, great stuff there, Matt. And your second pick here on this Monday.
A second pick is Chevron Corporation. Again, value play appealing to dividend investors, has a big dividend. Now, of course, oil and gas stocks are controversial. We get that. However, we think the outcome of the presidential election, either way it goes, can be really beneficial to the big oil companies because, first of all, obviously, on the Republican side, there's a lot of promises of expanded energy. But also on the Democratic side, there's been a realization that embracing U.S. energy is also very important. So we see that no matter the outcome of the election in about a month, we think the major oil companies will be well positioned. Of these, we like Chevron, pays a big dividend. Earnings are just, you know, huge, multi-billion, and they've recently cleared a major hurdle in their critical acquisition of Hess Corporation, which has a big interest in a very important Africa oil discovery. That's one of the biggest ever in the last decade.
All right, Matt, you know, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on today's market activity. Obviously, wrapping up the month here, stocks are trending down. Your thoughts on the market here as we head into October?
Well, we've had a big September, I mean, and no one would have expected it. And remember, we've gone from, you know, the market being extremely high coming into the summer, then a massive correction, then back up, then back down, now back to all-time highs coming into the election. So kind of a time to maybe trim some things back, and why, of course, we've taken a look at some more, you know, stocks that paid big dividends like Citigroup or Chevron. So we think investors should be a little bit more cautious positioning into the election, but certainly with the Fed cutting interest rates, really a good time over the next, you know, several years with the outlook for the economy and also, of course, the resolution of the election soon.
All right. Again, if you're taking notes at home, that is Citigroup and Chevron Corporation, our Stock Picker Monday. Thanks so much. That's Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital. If you missed any part of today's program, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com as well as the Odyssey app.